Today's kind of a special episode for me, both in terms of number of episodes, 20, and who my guest is today, another podcast host who has been around a long time and has been very inspiring to me. And I've been a guest on her podcast a few times. I'm going to be introducing you today to Michelle Lamoureux, who is the host of Her Starring Role, which is a podcast formerly known as The Good Life with Michelle Lamoureux. We're going to talk about her origin story, her focus on podcasting, her rebranding, and how she even decided to take that leap when she already had a very successful podcast, and how she works with other people when they're thinking about becoming a podcast host and they want to put their voice out there. Welcome to Surfing the Quicksand. There are statistics that say that 90% of all podcasts, of the millions of podcasts that get started, 90% make it past episode 3. And of that last 10%, 90% of those don't make it past 20. Well, this is my 20th episode, and so what I'm doing today is getting a little deeper into podcasting by speaking with someone who has 400 episodes of her podcast. I'm speaking today with Michelle Lamoureux. You may know her from The Good Life with Michelle Lamoureux, which has recently been rebranded as Her Starring Role. This podcast, wait for it, top 1.5% of all podcasts globally. She's hit number 7 in the United States in her category, and she reaches women in over 80 countries and is in the top 10 in many of them. Her commitment as an award-winning podcaster, an author, a speaker, and a certified life and holistic health coach is to invite women off the sidelines and step into their starring roles. She interviews New York Times bestsellers, world-class experts in their field to bring topics of all sorts of topics, just like me, only maybe a little lower in stature, to audiences of these women to inspire them to move forward and really take ownership of where they go next. I'm so excited to introduce you to Michelle, and we're going to talk podcasting, her life, my life, and maybe if you've been interested in podcasting, your life and future too. Welcome, Michelle.
So excited to be with you today, Kathy. This is fun. You were my ninth guest on my show and a repeat guest after that because we had such a good time connecting and you shared so much value. So this is fun, kind of full circle moment.
It really is. And I know you were actually one of the first people I reached out to when I said, "Oh my gosh, I'm doing this," right? Not only as a hey, I know you kind of coach people and you talk to people about this as a living, but just like, hey, I was part of your story and your startup. I would love for you to be a part of mine.
I'm honored. I'm so excited too. I love talking podcasting, you know
I
that. So
do,
it's
I
fun.
do,
Yeah,
I do.
yes.
So I want to kind of start with the beginning, as I do with
Okay.
most of my guests, because your podcasting has an origin story like everyone else's. Can you go back in time a little bit and tell us how professionally you got to this point?
Okay. So, like many of us, I started out in corporate America. I was director of marketing for a major law firm in Boston. Did that for many years, over a decade. Went out on my own and got married. And when I was about 37, my husband started listening to podcasts. We were watching the show Lost, if anyone remembers that
My
show.
favorite.
Okay. And we never saw the ending, by the way. Separate story, but I know we need to still see how that ended. But my husband said to me, "You've been wanting to get your voice out in the world. I'm listening to this podcast all about Lost. This is the future." Christmas morning, okay, I'm 38 years old. Christmas morning, I wake up to a one-page website, a beautiful mic, nice mic with the name The Good Life. And he's like, "You're ready to go." And I was like, "Oh, okay, I'm doing this." And I did. I just jumped right in. I didn't know anything about it. I probably searched some YouTube videos at the time and figured out how to get the RSS feed. Like all this stuff is so different now than it was back. So this was 2008, just for clarification, 2008. If I had to guess, there were probably a couple thousand podcasts at that time, and people's knowledge of podcasts at that time, they probably weren't early adopters of tech like my husband. So I think that's who was listening. And I saw, so that it's the called the Podcast Landscape 2025 report. I pulled up some stats too because I was just curious. So it says 96% of Americans now know the word podcast, and 55% tune in monthly. So very different than 2008. But I had a show at the time. I was doing just solo casts, and then I became pregnant with my daughter, and it was very success oriented. I was coming out of, it was like success mindset coming out of corporate and what I had learned, and from all the reading that I loved doing, all the business books. And I decided I wasn't ready to keep doing two things. Like I had first time mom at 38 years old. So excited for that. I had miscarried prior to getting pregnant with her. She was a preemie in the NICU. And I was like, okay, I'm going all in on motherhood. And I actually put my career on hold for quite a while. And so, for anyone out there who's like, oh, it's too late, I can't do this, use my life as an example because I slowly sort of reintegrated myself into the world of work, but on my terms. I knew I wasn't going back to corporate. I got certified as a holistic health coach. I had already gotten certified as an empowerment coach when I left corporate. And I wrote my first book, Design a Life You Love, a year after that. And then I slowly started getting back into the world of coaching. We moved across the country from Boston to San Diego. And I was having this whisper that said, you know, revisit that podcast idea, revisit that podcast idea. It was 10 years before I did. So it's not too late. It doesn't matter if you started one and restart another one. Just know that it's accessible to anyone who's got that voice that's saying you could do it. But that's sort of a bigger picture of, you know, some specific steps, but of
I love
what got
that.
me where I am today.
And you and I met obviously in that 10 years later phase in
Yes.
2018. And I remember you sharing like, oh, I had one break by, and I'm like, I was definitely one of those people who did not know what podcasts were. I didn't have an iPhone. Did anybody have an iPhone in 2008, really? Right. So where would you even listen to these? The concept of
Right.
how technology and pop culture and everything has just changed. By the time you had come around and you had approached me, I'd already been a podcast guest on other people's podcasts many times, right? So
Interesting.
I was introduced into podcasting as a guest. I still wasn't listening to podcasts. I didn't start listening until the pandemic, when I was going for walks every day and getting out of my house, and that's when I started listening. So even years after I was on
Interesting.
yours, podcasting was still not a thing for me. I still don't actually consider myself an avid podcast listener or watcher. There are some that I really enjoy, but I'm not one of those people who's shopping around for what's new and things like that. I'm
Interesting.
not good at listening and doing something else, right? If I have a pot, lots of people are like, oh, I'll wash the dishes, I'll do some other things while I'm listening to a podcast. I'm not good at that. I need to pay attention to one thing or the other. So I think that's one of the barriers for me to having become a podcast junkie.
I love hearing that. So I love podcasts. I was always listening to podcasts, even, you know, years before I started them. I think the first one I got into is Guy Raz's How I Built This. And I absolutely loved it. And that was sort of the introduction to it. And then I just got hooked. So I think that was also what invited me back into like, wait a sec, you had one of these, you know, you can do this again. And also, I think it's interesting. Yeah, a lot of people, it's such an intimate medium. A lot, I do listen in the car and when I'm doing the dishes, but you're right. A lot of people need to be fully focused to consume them.
I'm curious about as you were approaching that second round, right? And you've been listening to more podcasts, and podcasts is so popular by then. What was new for you in 2018 that had you approaching this second round differently?
Yeah. So one thing I've noticed about myself is that ideas usually are in the background playing in my mind, whispering to me, and it takes a while. It's sort of percolating in the background. And so I always knew I would come back to podcasting because I loved it that much. And 2018, we had moved, and it was probably a couple years after settling my daughter into her school and my husband launching his business and helping to support that and sort of doing what women tend to do, which is be the caretaker and be the support system or be on the sidelines as they're supporting everyone else in their starring role. And so I had that whisper and I was like, okay, I'm actually in a place, there's no excuses. It's now or never. And that's when I did just jump in 2 feet. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this. And so that's what was different. I just things needed to kind of fall into place. And I wasn't ready when I was still in Boston. Again, priorities. It's what you choose to prioritize. And I don't believe in regrets. I heard Oprah recently say something like to the effect of there's no experience is wasted. And I believe that.
I do
I
as
believe
well.
that. Yeah.
I think that that's it's hard for me. There are moments that I have in my past that I will attach shame to,
Yes.
and I would probably put some regret in a couple of those. But
Yes.
for the most part, in terms of opportunities I've pursued, risks I've taken,
Yeah.
I don't have regret in those spaces. I think I wouldn't be who I am today had any of those things not gone as they did. And I'm really happy with who I am today and what my life looks like today.
Absolutely. And I'm the same. There's probably one or two that I would say is a regret. But even when I dive into what that regret is, had I gone to a particular college instead of another one, a different door wouldn't have opened up to my professional career. So it's also having some faith in the higher power, sort of guiding our path and knowing that if we tune in, we can get realigned on that path. That's kind of how I approach it.
What you're talking about a little bit is also part of how when I was approaching, I might want to do this, right? So
Yes.
there's, and you've mentioned the word voice a few times, and I think that that's something that resonates with me. Not just the speaking voice, but what do I want to put out there? I was someone who, you've known me a long time. I have a lot of different interests. I have a lot of different businesses. I do a lot of different things with a lot of different people. And the idea that I could or would, or anybody would want something that feels like a representation of my own interests and my own curiosities and my own expertise felt really foreign. But I knew inside I had something to put out there. I knew I had a unique voice. I knew based on my years of working with my Clever Girl Organizing Challenge, right? It's been 13 years. I cultivate a very strong community in there. They get to know me really well, right? I'd had a lot of experience saying, no, I know that I have a voice. I know that I can connect with people. And I believe podcasting could be a way for me to expand that to different topics, different audiences. I just also faced internally the things I know about me that felt like barriers. So I had the voice and I had the desire to put the voice out there. But then I had things like, I hate open-ended projects. And boy, does a podcast feel like an open-ended project. I'm curious, you're 400 episodes in now, right? You're 400 episodes in. What did you think this was going to look like when you started?
So I approached it with a long game mentality. And when I coach women, I say, here's some stats similar to what you talked about, the pod fade. It's called pod fade. So when these people launch a show and they don't get past episode 3 or episode 10 or 20, it's usually by 20, you're either in it. I feel like if you've made it to 20, so congrats, you've made it to 20, you're in it. You're in it now. But it's called pod fading in the world of podcasting. So technically I did. I pod faded in 2008. I started a podcast and I didn't continue. So when I approached doing it again, I was very intentional with my why. Why am I doing it? What is the impact I'm hoping to make? Who do I want to reach? What are the topics I want to cover? There was a lot of intentionality around the purpose, so that here we are 7 years later, 400 episodes, where there are still times where I'm like, oh my goodness, do I really want to still do this? So I'm just letting you know, if you feel that, it's normal. It's normal. And that's why the why is so important. Like, you really need to know why you've done it. And you were very articulate and very clear about why you started it. So I just knew that I was committed. And I also gave myself this idea of like, go for a year. And then when the year mark came, it was like, okay, well, let's keep going. And then you get these dream guests on all of a sudden, and you're like, oh, wait, there's so much more to this. Like, keep going. And so you have to be your own cheerleader and also connect back to, am I still making an impact? Am I reaching the people I want to reach? You know, is this doing what I intended it to do? Do I need to pivot and change? Is there more to this story? And if it's not, it's okay to also stop. There's celebrities and former presidents who've launched podcasts, and they didn't know what they were getting themselves into either. Like, it's for everyone, and also you just have to temper expectations of what it really means to have a show. And we can get into more of that if you want.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that, but I want to go back a minute and talk about you get big guests, you get dream guests, right? You lit up when you said that. Can you dish a little bit about some
Sure.
of those kind of the dream guests that you've been able to have on and how it came about?
Okay, so I will say, I'm pretty certain, Kathy, when I interviewed you, we didn't see each other. So the first 2 years I was on Skype, because also the technology isn't what it is today. So if somebody's launching today, there's Zoom, which we're using. There's something called Riverside FM, which a lot of people use. It creates great videos. I already had the Zoom, so I kept it. So I wasn't even seeing my guests. One thing I was very intentional about was just putting myself out there. So there was an author who, when I reached out, hadn't hit the New York Times bestseller list. I had heard about him on another podcast. I did a cold outreach. He wrote a book that I found fascinating. So my dream guest may not be your dream guest or someone else's. He wrote a book called Breath: The New Science of a Lost Art. His name is James Nestor. He's a journalist. And I was like, this book is phenomenal. It would be such a dream to have him on. I was probably in year two. He said yes. He came on, never saw him. It was all over Skype, which I'm thinking back to. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I've seen him. But no, I was recording in a closet that was like 2 by 2 for an hour, sweating by the end of it, and never met the man personally, like never saw him, just heard his voice. That was such a dream guest for me, but it was a complete cold outreach. It was a thoughtful email, not generated after ChatGPT wasn't even what it is now. I would say never use ChatGPT if you're going to reach out to a guest and have a meaningful connection, say something like a potential guest. It was amazing. And then next thing you know, I saw he was on Rogan, and he's like all over the place. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I reached out before this like tipping point happened, and maybe I would have talked myself out of it and been like, oh, he's not going to come on your show now. But it's important not to do that to yourself. All somebody can say is no, right? All they can say is no. So where I'm at this point, probably about 2 to 3 years in, publishers, PR agents that represent world-renowned people started pitching me. They started pitching me. And so I started paying attention and saying, oh, wait, I like what you're sending me. By the way, this is what I do. And now they consistently pitch me. So that's where I'm at now. But this is part of like the mindset. It's the long game. For somebody, it might happen in the first year. You know, it depends how you approach it. But it was sort of like a ongoing process that. And also having the courage to say, okay, I'm just going to go ask. All someone can say is no. Most people say yes, Kathy. So I will tell you that. Most people say yes. And another sort of tip is if they have a book coming out, they're more likely to say yes. And the fact that you're at 20 episodes, they're also more likely to say yes. If you're a newbie show, actually, one of my dream guests was my first guest. Let's talk about Lisa Genova.
Yes.
Okay, we have a mutual friend. Oh my God, Kathy, also
We
your
have the
mutual
same mutual
friend.
friend, but
Okay,
that's not how we met. That was coincidence.
so that is crazy too. Okay, so we'll just tell the audience a little backstory. So my friend Stephanie, I've literally known her since birth, has knew Lisa. They'd gone to college together, and I was thinking about launching the show. And when I knew what the intention of the show was, to invite women off the sidelines to live their happiest, healthiest, most meaningful life, the meaning is what it's about. And heard her story as a single mom who was this neuroscientist who published a fiction book that no one wanted, that then went on to become a New York Times bestseller that I think was on the list for like 67 weeks in a row. I don't know. It was some like insane long run. I said, "Would you mind making an introduction? Like, you don't have to vouch me for anything. Let me just do a pitch." And Lisa, thank you if you end up listening to this episode, was so grateful. She said yes because she took a chance on a brand new show, probably not knowing that most shows don't make it till past episode three. So I'm glad I kept going. But Lisa still continues to be a dream guest, and she's been on numerous times as well.
And if people
But
don't know the, like, if Lisa Genova is not a household name,
yes.
Still Alice is probably her best known title, which then went on to be a, you know, an
Major
Oscar,
motion.
like an Oscar. I think Julianne Moore won the Oscar for that role playing in that
Right.
movie. So it
Right.
became very huge. And she has continued to publish amazing books around chronic disease and, you know, novels or novelizations around chronic disease and brain-based issues and all
Correct.
sorts of things. Just really
Yes.
tremendous. And TED Talks and just enormous. She's a real
She's
huge.
phenomenal. To me, she's a rock star. That's what I said. We throw parades for football players, right? And I'm like, people like you deserve those kinds of accolades. So to me, that's a dream guest. Again, everyone's dream guest is different, but she fit the model of what I wanted to show other women is possible. When you hear that whisper, you trust your intuition. She so easily could have written a nonfiction book. And in fact, that's what publishers wanted her to do. That's what she shared on my show. But she stuck to what she felt was her way of creating empathy for these neurological disorders. And yes, Still Alice became a major motion picture, which won Julianne Moore an Oscar for Best Actress. That's phenomenal, all because she trusted what was in her heart and pursued it. And that's like, that's the invitation with my podcast.
Absolutely. And
Yeah.
I'm going to say another I would have considered dream guest. I don't know how you felt, but my introduction to Dr. Mary Claire Haver,
Yes.
the kind of the menopause person of the world right now in my world, my first exposure to her was on your podcast.
Oh, interesting. Menopause ended up being a very hot topic. I covered it many times because I got a lot of feedback that women were like, "How did I not know this information?" And that's what happened to me. I didn't know the information. And so that's also what I try to pursue with the show. It's like, how do you help women live ha happier, healthier, and more meaningful lives? If you're not at your best mentally or physically, or your health isn't, then it's hard to pursue your purpose and meaning.
And I obviously spend a lot of time on all these things, as you do, kind of the midlife women approach, and menopause is a big part of it. It's not everything,
Yes.
but it may not be everything for all of my podcast episodes, but everybody listening probably is about to go through it, is going through it, or is kind of on the other side of it. So it is a common thread, I think, amongst my listeners and
Absolutely.
watchers.
Absolutely. But advice I would say for you or anyone, just ask. It's not personal, it's business. And they might have gatekeepers and they might say, "What are your downloads?" And what? So fine. You just offer what you can. Here's my background. I've been a guest. You create the pitch that's heartfelt, that invites them on.
I did that for when I published my book in 2017, and I had
Okay.
a Geralyn Thomas, who you have also interviewed. She and I had been talking, and she said, who do you want to do your forward? Like, who feels like a big ask for you? And I said, Ari Tuchman. She said, great, go ask him. I'm like, what? And he said yes, and he wrote the forward to my book, right?
See.
It was the same thing, and cold, and but genuine and authentic outreach about who I what I thought of him, why I thought he'd be great for my book, and he was a yes, and it was amazing. So
And it is
you're
amazing,
inspiring me. You're inspiring me to kind of
right?
think about, because what I haven't done is thought about. I'm very lucky. I have a really rich network of people that when I started
Yes.
this outreach, I said, "Would you consider?" And they all said, "Kathy, yeah, anything for you, great." I'm
Yes.
very lucky that I have a rich network that way, but I'm going to run out of those people. And I do feel like, yeah, it's been 20 episodes. Maybe people will say, oh, she's not nothing. I'll give her a shot. So you got me inspired.
Absolutely. And that's how I started. It was through my network. And actually, I found you, I think, on LinkedIn. I don't even know how I saw a post. I was like, oh, I like her. She and I want to talk about organizing. And I did an outreach, and then we found out we had Stephanie in common too. And I was
So
like, oh,
funny.
that's so funny. I could have just asked Steph for the intro, which is very funny. But I yeah, we found each other. And then Geraldine was
Yes.
listening to my podcast,
Yes. Yes, she was listening to your podcast
independent of you.
and she mentioned me. I'm like, I know Michelle very well. I'll introduce you. I'm
Yeah.
sure she'd love
And
to
then
have
she
you.
became a guest. So that's the thing.
Yeah,
It's you
so
start with
funny.
your net. It's good to start with your network, but do you have the dream guest? Yeah.
I want to talk about the pivot, right? The her starring role, the idea of kind of refreshing, rebranding, reapproaching what you're doing. How did this come about? What was a driver for you?
Yeah, so I helped seven people launch a show in the last few months. And I was taking them through my methodology, which starts with your why. And then and they said, how important is a name? And I'm like, it's really important. And I never resonated with the name, even though The Good Life is a perfectly good name. And I had the URL, thegoodlifecoach.com. I had that back in 2008. But it didn't feel like me. My husband came up with that for me. And it was, like I said, it was a good name and it did fit the intention, but it wasn't all of me. And part of the invitation with the show, or even when you're podcasting and using your voice, is to truly start stepping into who you are, mo the most authentic version of you. And I had, as part of my intro, when I would introduce my show, this is to invite women off the sidelines into her starring role. And it just felt right. I'm like, that's it. That is the name. It's her starring role. The invitation is, I don't want you to be 85 at the end of your life, looking back, going, I lived for everyone else. I never had that moment. That even makes me want to tear up just thinking about it, Kathy. I don't want that. I want any woman who's got a dream, who's got those whispers. And here's the thing, for some woman, it might be literally to build an empire. Like, she may have these grand visions. And if that's the dream that's in her heart, that is what she should pursue. And for someone else, it might literally just be like, I need to prioritize my health. I put everyone else first. My starring role is about reclaiming my health so I can live the longest, healthiest, most wonderful life so I can travel and do other things. Everyone's journey is their own. And I think if we tune in, we know what that is. But it was really interviewing, helping these other people through my methodology that I got reconnected and I finally got clear. And everyone said, don't change the name. You've built this up. Are you sure you're going to change the name? I said, there's people who subscribe, they have the URL. It'll redirect. What's most important to me now is to be true to myself and to let whoever that name resonates with to come on over and check it out.
I can see it feeling like a big risk, and I'm so fresh into it. I know how seriously I took the name, and I was thrilled when we found it. It was kind of evolved through a group chat of some of my best work girlfriends,
Yeah.
and as soon as I had it, I was like, oh, I love this. I love it.
Yes,
And
yes.
there was never a waffling. Like I felt real, and I felt the same way about Clever Girl Organizing when I came up with that name. So I was like, oh, so I know. That so the idea that I might reach a point where like, oh, you know what? Surfing the quicksand, that's not you anymore, or that's not this anymore. You've evolved, this has evolved, would
Yes.
feel like, oh, but it's like my baby.
Yes. And if you cross that bridge, you will
Yeah.
navigate that.
Yeah.
And know that it's okay. A lot of people do it. Some people change the name of their show if they put out a book just for a short period of time, or they name it, it could be the Kathy Vine Show. You know, depending on where you go, you may become the brand. For me, her starring role, she is who this is for. This isn't about me. I'm the conduit. I am not the star. My journey is to be the star of my life in the ways that are important to me. And it's for her, you. Whatever woman's listening that says, yeah, I've been on the sidelines too long. I want to have them feeling inspired and give them actionable tips so they feel like it's truly possible.
One of the things I want to make sure that people who are watching or listening to this know about you, if you are new to them, is that I do think that that is your special gift here in podcasting, is you really, you're there to be an interviewer. You research very heavily. you got a very planful, intentional conversation that is all about highlighting somebody else. You yourself is very much, I find, like in the background. And you've got an amazing voice to listen to as well. So if somebody's listening, you're saying, "Oh, I could listen to this woman for a while." You definitely can. You've got 400 episodes to do it, to catch up. The idea of how you've come to become an interviewer, was that always natural to you?
I think it was. I'm a deeply curious person. So when I was in corporate and thinking about going to law school, I started as a paralegal, and I was interviewing, I'm putting in air quotes for somebody who's not watching, all the attorneys. There was 90 corporate attorneys, and I would like work with them, and I'd be like, "Hey, should I go to law school? What did you like about it?" And I was, interestingly enough, part of the reason I didn't end up going was 80% of them said, "Don't go to law school. Go get an MBA. And if you do get a GED, go get an MBA." And I was like, "Okay, why don't I just go get the MBA," which was my plan. And then I ended up becoming director of marketing of that same firm at 27. So my trajectory kind of changed, and it was wonderful when it, you know, when I was in corporate. But yeah, even when I was the full-time mom, I'd go up and I'd ask the moms, "What did you do before you were a mom?" Like genuine curiosity. So I think I really want to learn, and I want to extract from my guests. So it's, yes, I think it's natural. And I do prepare, though, for sure. You mentioned that. I interview a lot of authors. Sometimes it'll be like 200, 300 page books. I'll have three interviews in a week. I've read those books cover to cover. And I get almost like an energy download. I know that might sound odd, but like I get a sense of who the person is as much as what they're trying to share. And then I build the conversation and questions. It's very much a conversation. It's not Q&A, right? It's not like, "Okay, let me read you this question number one." No, it's what you're doing beautifully. You're a natural interviewer, Kathy.
Thank you. I think some of that is when you're in HR, right? You
Yes.
not only interviewing candidates, but constantly just scanning the organization and having meaningful conversations with leaders and managers and employees. And it absolutely needs to be about listening. And
Yes.
I really remember I was at Millennium Pharmaceuticals, so this is 2001, 2002-ish, and I remember there was a leader I really respected, a woman, and she and I had had a conversation. She said, "The most important thing that leaders do is ask good questions." And I just remember that I knew that about myself already, but I hadn't brought it forward as this is the most important thing I need to be doing. And that really, again, for 25 years, I think set the tone for how I get to know people and how I bring other people's stories to life.
And you do a beautiful job. And you're right, listening is huge. You can't just ask the question out of curiosity and then not be present for what they're saying. And then it's also sort of intuitively knowing if it's gone too far off path and how to weave it back. And you know, it's just, yeah, the more you do it too, the easier it gets. My first interview that I aired was with Lisa, but my very first sit-down interview that I recorded was with a guy that I worked with who's an attorney who does Myers-Briggs, his own version of it. And the second we hit record, I was nervous. And I was like, "Rob, we've known each other. This is a conversation." And the second I hit record, I'm suddenly nervous. So you have to just give yourself some grace too. Like you can be curious, you can prepare, you can still be nervous, and you continue to find your voice. And you said that I've put myself in the background, and actually with the relaunch, with her starring role, there's solo casts. I've done some. But it's more of part is now stepping into more of my own thought leadership and not sidelining my own voice either.
Oh, I'm so glad. And you have done some solos. I've listened to them before. So the fact that you're making it more of a priority, I expect drives how you think about a season, the content and the flow that you want to bring to people, and also just what are your own stories and your own perspectives you haven't brought out yet in 7 years.
It's true. And I have found that I still self-edit some aspects because even though this audience has been with me for so long, there's a level of vulnerability that comes with sharing your full story and allowing people to see those sides. But one of the things that I have shared sort of consistently, including with James Nestor on The Breath, was I wore a back brace for scoliosis for 6 years. And that was a physical brace that contained me, my essence, my physical body. And when it came off, there was almost an energetic brace that remained because that was a traumatic experience. 6 years, 23 hours of the day, sleeping in it, not barely being able to take a full breath. It had to contain a moderate S curve for scoliosis. It's this curvature of the spine. That's what it is. And so living like that from the ages of 10 to 16, in going to high school, I didn't have to wear it all the time, but it really impacted sort of how I showed up. And so it became baby steps. I did musical theater as a kid, reclaiming my voice in that way, taking singing lessons as an adult. It's sort of what I said. It's sort of like these baby steps, and podcasting is another way. And I'm ready 7 years in. So this is why you have to give yourself grace. It's not about being perfect. It's like do the best you can with where you're at based on your life experiences and your readiness to put yourself out there. And her starring role is that invitation, not just for my audience, but it's for me too.
I love that. That story around your continued baby steps of stepping in, and again, hearing you talk about, I don't want to be 85 and look back on things, right? You got a long, long way till 85, and I know you will continue with those baby steps. And if we're lucky, we get to witness some of them.
Yes.
I had my own, and I had shared with you similarly. I recorded my first episodes. My first guest was not the first one that I recorded. And I started, and a really good friend, and I was locking everything down. And I start with a wonderful introduction, and about 2 minutes into it, I'm like, didn't hit record. Hold on. And of course, she's so graceful and generous about it. We're, Kathy, we're good. We're good. It's so helpful when you have people who are cheering you on, and they get it that it's these things happen. And sometimes you have technology snafus. All sorts of things can go on when you're trying to do something like this.
Totally. And I had a dream guest where we started. This was like 100 episodes in. And I was so excited that I was like, literally, but it was about 30 seconds. And I'm like, I didn't hit record. That was the only time I'd ever done that. And it was because this person meant so much. And then you're just not as much on your game. So, and then from there, it was great. And she was great. Oh, she's like, she had her own podcast. She's like, oh, I've done that a few times. People don't care.
I
But
do think a lot of people know podcasts because they see big, big stars and big, big celebrities who are sitting in a living room set or desk set, and there's audio visual, but there's a team and there's staff and there's production assistants and engineers and everything else. Most people don't do that.
right.
I'm lucky. I have an engineer who's helping me out with some editing and things like that. Everything else is me.
Yes, exactly. And for me too, other than the podcast editing, but I still go through and do the cuts, meaning I say these timestamps, it went the wrong way, or
Same.
the dog was barking, or something happened, or the video glitched. And I give him the timestamps and then he gets it up for me. In 2008, it was all me, but it was very different. The way you would do it was very different. Now it's if you can outsource, outsource. That part of it, just outsource.
And I look at it this as, I'm a business owner, right? So some of this is absolutely marketing, and hopefully it grows my career coaching and resume writing business and virtual organizing and all the other things. But this
Yeah.
isn't really, I put this out because I think I'm going to make all the money as a podcaster. So any money I spend on it is like a hobby that you spend money on, right? It's greens fees and pickleball court fees. It's a hobby you spend money on.
Yeah.
And so that was important to me when I first started. It was, and I talked to you about this. I'm like, where do I spend money? Where don't I spend money? Where can you get away with cheaper than you think? Is this part of the coaching that you do with people?
100%. And I will say, you're right. You get Amy Poehler launches a podcast. At the end, there's the custom music and all the people and the producers and the set design or whatever it is. And you get the litany of names. You're like, wow, that's amazing. Most of us don't have that. And also, 1% of the podcasts have like 90% of the audience, right? These big shows, the Mel Robbins, the Joe Rogans, the I can't think of whatever her name
New
is.
Heights, Call Her Daddy, all of them,
Yeah,
huh?
Call
Yeah,
Her
yeah,
Daddy
yeah,
was the
yeah.
one I was thinking. Right, exactly. Diary of a CEO. They have like everyone's tuning in. So We don't have, most of us don't have that. So that is partially why you do need to have your passion for it. You need to know your why for it. You need to know how much money you're willing to commit to a podcast. I've never gotten sponsors. I've never done the outreach for sponsors. I may at some point, it would need to be someone, a company or a service that I believed in order to do that. It started out as a passion project, and I knew that. And now, even 7 years in, I'm thinking about it. So I would say to you, Kathy, or anyone starting, I encourage people to think about that sooner, even potentially getting sponsors before you launch on the promise of what you're going to do. I know that sounds out, but no, seriously, because if you, it depends on who your target is. There's people who would want to have their name there, and it's, you know what your costs are. So even if it just covers the cost of producing the show every week,
No,
doesn't have to make money.
that's helpful. And I am thinking about that. I've been lucky. I've had people who gave kind of discount codes to my audiences and things like that. And for the first time that happened, I'm like, oh, I'm a real podcast. I have a code. I have a code to share with my
Yes,
listeners. That was so cool.
yes, yes.
But the when I, for instance, and I had done some research, you know, I didn't want to have to unwind things. So for instance, when it came to the music, right, there's a million places where you can get free podcast theme songs. But what I knew was if I ever wanted to monetize on YouTube, you can't use essentially a lot of it. So I found somebody that I liked through listening to it, and I contacted him and I said, I really like this song. Can I buy a license to use
Perfect.
Rutherford, right? And he was so pleased that I reached out to him, and it was and it was actually human. I promise it was definitely human that I was talking to. I was first I was like, oh, this is going to a bot. But I'm like, I don't want to have to, you know, a year or two later, you're like, ah, I just lost my theme song because I didn't think in the beginning about the long game.
100%, but I've also changed my thought, my song, and with her starring role, it changed again. So I've changed it probably 3 times now. Because at some point it didn't feel right anymore. So it's okay. But I did also buy the extended license when I did it. Yeah.
I want to, before I switch to the quicksand, three questions. I want to talk about if somebody is interested in starting a podcast and this has
Yeah.
inspired them a little bit more, how can they work with you? What kind of work can they expect that you'll do together?
So basically, I dive into why now, who they want to reach. And we go through a series of questions and really dig into. A lot of people wonder, is podcasting right for me? There's so many out there. Is this, you know, is there a place for my voice? So let me just start there because yes, the answer is yes. We talked about, there's about, I don't know if you mentioned how many, but there's over about 4 million podcasts. Of those, there's like a fraction, less than 50% that are actually producing consistent regular podcasts every week. So if you think that there's a billion blogs out there and you like using your voice and you want to teach every week or you want to do interviews like Kathy and I do, then there's a place for you. But you need to look at a lot of things like, you know, how much time do you have per week? Because depending on how much time somebody had, I might actually say, you know what, to start, go guest first. Don't launch your show. It depends. If you want to do interviews and you know you're going to be interviewing authors, we'd be looking at, well, again, how much time do you have? For me, it's, you know, 8 to 10 hours a week. I don't know how much you're putting in right now, but it's a lot more work than people anticipate, which is why I think there's a lot of people who pod fade. They don't anticipate the time, they don't anticipate the cost, they're like behind the eight ball because they're like, oh no, I haven't produced enough content and now it needs to come out consistently. And then they give themselves permission not to do that. So we look at all that kind of stuff. Can you do it consistently every week? You know, what's the candor going to be? What's the tempo going to be? Is it going to be interviews and solo casts? And we just dive into all aspects of it. But the why and really getting that nailed down and why now and who you want to reach is like really at the heart of it. And once we do that, the rest of it is, you know, I demystify the tech. I demystify all of it. I get into whatever they need to know. How do you get guests? How do you get ahead so you don't fall behind? How do you batch record? You know, all those kinds of things.
I'm lucky that I am organized. I'm organized in life. I'm organized in my thoughts. I like systems. My engineer that I work with, we've set up a really nice flow and
Yeah.
process around how we interact. But that didn't, even though I am organized, that didn't come without design, Right? They didn't come
Right.
out without thought and experimenting a little bit, like, oh, you know what, this isn't working, Lou, we got to change this. And
Right.
I do spend it's about 6 to 8 hours per episode that I'm
Yeah.
spending, and so
Yeah.
that resonates
Yeah.
from beginning from outreach to launch
Right.
and
And that's
social
a part
media,
of
all
it.
of that.
If you're doing interviews, you are doing outreach all the time. And then you got to do right the marketing end of it.
And that's the part where not quite podcast fade on the big scale, but on the small scale, I'm like, oh, I'm done with this episode. Oh, I ain't seen this done yet. Let me just move on to the next episode. No, got to market it. You got to do the social media. Got to think about the clips. Got to do all that. And it would
Yes.
be easy to slack off on that one. And I've been really kind of disciplined around that because I know how important it is.
Yes, and if you could outsource that part, I haven't yet either, but that's actually the next part that I would like to outsource.
And so I want to, we're going to go to the Quicksand 3 and then we're going to come back and you're going to tell people how to find you.
Okay.
So Quicksand 3 are the same three questions I ask all of my guests, which are kind of on the core of what I want to bring to midlife women, is helping them get unstuck and really think about a new possibility for their future. So the first question is, what is a tip or trick that you use to get unstuck and get motivated to do something that you've been avoiding?
The first step for me is to accept because we want to get into action often, but if we don't really look at the situation for what it is in the moment and have acceptance around it, it's really hard to get to movement. So you hate your job all of a sudden. What do? You have to acknowledge those feelings. That's painful, especially if it was a job that you loved. I've been in a job that I loved that suddenly felt like breaking up with, someone you loved. And that's heartbreaking. So you have to be with the feelings and get real clarity so that when you are making those intentional next steps, they're more directed by what you want next or what didn't work for you. You have to sort of dissect and be with what is. So that's one thing that I always do first. I just sit with the emotion and I get clarity around what worked, what didn't work, why am I like in the situation? Is it because I have a new boss that's making me hate my job, or do I actually hate the work? You have to really dissect what it is that's keeping you stuck. Or you've been a stay-at-home mom and you're realizing you want to get back in. It's like you might have the regret, oh, I should have kept something going. And so you have to be with the feelings and really sort of nurture that part of you so that you have the confidence to then take the next step. I did the best I could. Look at my kid. My kid was supported. You have to give yourself what it needs. I could give so many different examples. If you throw one out, I give it to you. But that's really what it is. It's first be with what's true for you.
I just had this conversation with one of my coaching clients this morning, which was you can't have a logical argument with an emotional response, right? And
Perfect.
so until we face the emotional part of what she's struggling, we can't do a to-do list around
Yeah,
that,
there's
right?
no action to be taken until you are with what is. Yes.
Second question, if time and history and skills and money and geography and no barriers, if there were no barriers on the table, what would have been a career or job you might have liked to try?
So I am writing a fiction book, and so I think it's still in the realm of possibility. And if I were being truly honest with myself, if I had the courage after college, I probably would have headed to Hollywood and tried to be a writer for like a comedy series. That would be like a dream comedy series. I mean, maybe it wouldn't. I don't know what it looks like in the back rooms of that. But this idea of living a very creative life through some level of communication and making people feel stuff. But the fiction book is next.
So exciting. That's so
Yeah, I
exciting.
was going to write another nonfiction and I'm like, that doesn't feel right. Just like Lisa, for me, it's the fiction. So it's time.
And then final question is, when life gets chaotic, what is a way that you recharge or hit the reset button?
I love a long walk. I need to be out and moving. No podcasts when that's going on. We live very close to the beach. If I can get my bare feet on the sand, that's, a bonus, but it's really just moving my body and walking and being out in nature and grounding. And I also just love the simplicity of a nice hot cup of tea. For some reason, that's deeply soothing to me.
I love that. Do you have a favorite tea?
I do black tea. I do love chai though, but usually for that moment, it's the black tea.
Thank you for spending some time with that. I know as a podcaster, you have your own approach to how you structure your episodes. And this has been really grounding for me to put these in and really feel like I'm consistently bringing out this same kind of message to all my listeners. Like, how do you get unstuck? How do other people get unstuck? What do other dreams people have? And hopefully inspires other people.
Absolutely. And hopefully they'll take some steps, though. That's the invitation. Like, play with it, have fun with it, bring the little kid of you out that just thought everything was possible for you, right? Without those voices, just start writing.
Listen to the good
Take the painting
whispers.
class. Yeah, listen to the good, just have some fun with it. Don't make it so serious.
Okay, so how can people, I want to talk about how can people find you if they are thinking they might want some coaching around becoming a podcaster? But more importantly, how can people find your podcast?
Well, they can look up her starring role on anywhere podcasts are offered or on YouTube, or easily just come over to herstarringrole.com, which is the website, and everything will be there. And there's a way to contact me there. And I love supporting men and women, but mostly women, to get their voice out in the world. So if you feel called, I'd be honored to. And I do a 20-minute free call so people could just explore whether, yeah, it's important just to see, yeah, what their goals are and whether I can actually help them do what they want to do.
Great. I will have all those links in our show notes. So if you're driving, you don't need to pull over and say, wait, what was that again? You'll have it all there when you check it out later.
Kathy, you're doing an amazing job. I think you're a
Thank you.
natural.
Thank you
I
so
think you're
much.
natural. I'm so excited for you.
Thank
And
you.
maybe, yeah, we'll have me back on in a year or two. No, I'm not saying joking, but we can just do like literally a celebratory Kathy show and we'll
Oh,
talk
that
about
would be.
all your achievements and everything you've done.
I that is a that's a great long game goal for me to have in
Yes,
place. I
you need
appreciate
that.
that.
That's right.
Good. Michelle, thank you so much for your time and your generosity and sharing your personal story and your professional expertise with my audience. I'm so happy to have had you here.
I'm so honored. And like we've said before, I feel like I've known you forever and we've never even met in person, but we will. I know one of these days we're going to meet.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Kathy.
So maybe you're like me, who had been thinking about a podcast for a really long time and didn't know how to bring it to life. And if that is you and this episode inspired you, I really encourage you to sign up for one of those 20-minute free consultations with Michelle. As you can see, there's more to bringing this kind of a project into the world than just saying, ah, I got a phone, I got a microphone, let me just do this. Right? It takes some thought and some planning, but for a lot of people, it's kind of building up saying, I think I can do this. I think I want to do this. And that was me, and that was clearly her. And if it's you, I hope this episode inspired you. Again, I'm putting everything in the show notes about the ways that you can listen to her podcast, as well as learn more about the services that she brings to budding podcast hosts. Thank you for being a part of my journey so far for 20 episodes, and I hope I'm able to inspire other people a long time from now as they're thinking about how to do this work and bring their voice and their starring role to the world.